fact that we're able to ordain Deacon Neal today. Amen. He said it himself. It's not because of any good thing he's done, but by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. How many know the only reason you're here today is because of God's amazing grace? Amen. And folk that don't say much hadn't sinned much. But for those of us who sinned a whole lot, I wish I had some sinners in here today. You just can't help yourself because you know that God looked beyond your faults and exceeded every one of your needs. Amen. Amen. Because of this occasion today, I want to look at the sixth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among ye 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk briefly today from the thought, help for the church. Help for the church. To help you understand what's taking place in chapter 6, we need to back up to chapter 2. It was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. And Peter was the speaker. And the record says over 3,000 folk joined church at one time off of a sermon preached by Peter. It is the same Peter who denied Jesus. It's the same Peter who the young girl says, you must be one of them. Peter says, I know not the man. She says, you look like them, you dress like them, you act like them. Peter says, young lady, I told you, I don't know him. She says, no, it's you. I know you. You are one of them. I've seen you before. Peter says, hell no. I don't know the man. It's the same Peter who says when they were in the midst of a storm and Jesus came walking on the water, the same Peter that said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come walking on the water. Peter literally walks on the water, but he starts looking at his surrounding circumstances, takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts to sink. In the midst of sinking, says, Lord, save me. It's the same Peter that preaches one sermon, 3,000 folk join the church. Isn't it amazing how God can use somebody that's fallible, somebody whose feet are made of clay, somebody who's made mistakes, somebody who literally denied him, can use that same person to speak so boldly for him that 3,000 folk join the church. What are you saying, preacher? Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad you've been. Doesn't matter what kind of life you live. How many know God can still use you? And based upon what you have been, what God has done in your life, that you can lead somebody else to Christ. It's that same Peter who preaches that sermon. 3,000 folk join the church. Imagine if 3,000 people join Mount Moriah. There would be some problems. There would be some issues. Because I've discovered that, listen, growth is better sometimes when it's gradual instead of all at once. Now listen, I love Mount Moriah. I want Mount Moriah to grow, but I don't ever want Mount Moriah to be a mega church because you can't pass the 3,000 folk. Oh, come on. I know maybe some of y'all are visiting from the Potter's house, but T.D. Jakes cannot pass the 10,000 people. He can go in and preach on Sunday morning, but there's no way he can pass the 10,000 folk. And listen, based upon your importance, based upon who you are, based upon how much you give, T.D. Jakes is not going to come see you if you get sick. He's not going to preach your funeral if you die because you're not quite important enough, because you cannot pastor and manage 10,000 people. I'm not talking against mega churches. They have their place. But what I'm telling you is the problem here in the text is the fact that there were 3,000 people and the apostles were trying to manage 3,000 people. And because of that, some people felt neglected. They felt like they were not being given enough attention, that they were being overlooked, because 3,000 people had been added to the church at one time. And listen, I can imagine, because we might have 300, but there's still some folk in Mount Moriah who don't feel like they get enough attention. If I've got something going on and have to go back to my office and don't speak to them after church on Sunday, I get a text message saying you were trying to be funny. You didn't speak to me today. You didn't hug me today. You shook my hand rather than hug me. You didn't give me enough attention. I cannot imagine how great the problem was among the disciples. And out of this 3,000 folk that joined, you had folk from all regions. You had Greek folk. You had Jewish folk. You had all different types of people that joined the church. And because of that, they were separating themselves. They were sitting with people that they liked, people that were like them. In other words, they had formed some cliques in this new church. Now, I know that only happens in the text. That doesn't happen at Mount Moriah. There are no cliques here. Everybody here loves everybody. We get along with everybody. There are no cliques in Mount Moriah. Maybe somewhere else, but not in Mount Moriah. There are no cliques in Mount Moriah. We love everybody. We speak to everybody. We don't care who we sit by. It does not matter who sits by us. There are no cliques in Mount Moriah, but that's the biggest lie ever told. There are some cliques here. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that problems in the church are nothing new. This is the first church, and yet they're having some problems because folk are not getting along. And I've never understood why it is that we can't get along in the church. I mean, really, because the church is a place where people come with problems. Jesus says, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. He says, those that are well need not a physician. I come for sick folk. And I know y'all not going to admit it in here today, but listen, how many of you here today came because you are sick? Not so much physically, but listen, I'm sick in some areas in my life. I need some help in some areas in my life. I've been struggling with some things in my life. I know none of y'all gonna admit it because you don't want your neighbor to know, so let me admit it for you. I'm sick, and I came today for some help. And so if we're all sick, if everybody in here has got some problems, if everybody in here has got some issues, why is it that we can't get along? They were having problems in the church. This is the first church. And I've told you before that ever since there's been a church, there's been mess in the church. Somebody says, I don't believe that. Listen, there was mess on Noah's Ark. You do know that there were no running water on Noah's Ark. There were no bathrooms on Noah's Ark. There was animals, two of every kind, on Noah's Ark. And after a while, it got pretty messy on Noah's Ark. But if you remember, everything in the ark lived and everything outside of the ark died. And what I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter how messy it gets in the church, you ought to stay with the church. Because there's a day coming when everything inside of the church will live and everything outside of the church will die. Because Jesus says, I'm coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And so they're having some problems in the church, and the problems got too big for the apostles. The apostles had been leading the church, but there's 3,000 folk. And they're mumbling, grumbling, and complaining, and they decided we've got to do something about this problem. We've got to address the problem. How many know that if there's a problem, you ought to address the problem? Even at home, listen, many times we try to sweep it under the rug and say there's really not an issue. But if there's a problem, you ought to, first of all, admit you got a problem. And can I tell you, that's a problem with a lot of us here at Mount Moriah. Everybody's got a problem but me. And it's amazing. It's amazing that if everybody's got a problem with you, then maybe you are the problem. First thing we got to do, we got to admit that there is a problem. And then we got to find a solution to the problem. And so what they did was they gathered together. All of the apostles got together and said, now listen, these women are complaining. And it was mostly women. I got to be honest with you, because if you read it, it says that the widows were complaining that they were not getting their share of what was being given out, that they were being overlooked, that they were not being treated properly like the Jewish women. The Grecian women were saying, they're getting more than we getting, and we're not being treated fairly. And I don't have to tell you men here today, there's nothing worse than having an upset woman. Oh, come on. Y'all brothers leave me out here by myself all the time. These women were complaining, were not being treated fairly. No woman likes to be overlooked. No woman likes to be ignored. Come on, ladies, y'all can help me. Y'all can help me. Every woman wants a certain amount of attention paid to them, and they're saying that these women on this side are being treated better than we are. And you know what? I've got every member of my Mariah has a different personality. There's some folk here that I never have to speak to, and they're just fine. There's some people here I never have to call their name, and they're just fine. But there are some other folk. I may get away with it one Sunday, but more than one or two Sundays, if I don't call their name, if I don't make my way to where they are, and listen, during greeting period, I can't hug everybody. You know, I get around to, you know, some Sundays I try to concentrate on this side, some Sundays I try to concentrate on this side, but don't let me miss one or two of you all too much. Pastor, did I do something to you? You know, you acting funny. You came down this side and you didn't hug me. You hugged a sister in front of me, but you didn't hug me. You didn't shake my hand. What's the problem? No. The problem was there were people there that spoke different languages. Some spoke Aramaic, some spoke Greek. And the problem was they had a problem with the way they talk. Y'all hear what I'm saying? The way they talk. Isn't it amazing the small stuff that trips us up? You know, some of y'all don't like to hear Reverend McAllister preach because he doesn't talk like Reverend Turner. You don't like to hear Reverend Smith preach because he doesn't preach like Reverend Turner. Listen, if it's the word, it's the word, regardless of how they deliver it. And they had a problem because some were speaking with different languages. Some were speaking ghetto. Some spoke educated. And so there was a problem that arose because they were speaking differently. And so there were problems in the church. And so they decided, listen, we got to get together and find out how we can get ahead of this problem. The leaders of the church could not do enough to look after every member in the church. And so the church decided we got to get some help for our leaders. We must seek out people who have a sense in the hand of God and calling them to care and minister for others. The members must be willing to quit demanding so much of the head minister and accept the ministry of other men. Do you know when y'all get sick sometime, you're not satisfied with one of these other preachers coming to see you? Child, you know the pastor ain't been here. But Reverend Welch came. Reverend Hansbrough came. Pastor, why you ain't been to see me? I hear about you going to see other members. Why you hadn't been to see me? I'm one man. For those of you that are not retired, you get up and go to work every morning. I get up and go to work every morning. Typically 12 to 14 hour days. And so sometimes I just can't make it. But I've discovered the same prayer that I can pray at Harris Hospital, the same prayer I can pray at Baylor All Saints, that same prayer I can sit in the living room in my car, and that same prayer the lack of enough leaders to meet all the needs, the lack of enough leadership, of enough workers will cause division in the church. Some will always feel like they are neglected. And this church was not adequately organized to meet the needs of 3,000 people. The leadership centered only on the apostles. There was a need for another level of ministers, ministers who could reach out to every single member. And can I tell you that every member in Mount Moriah is just as important as the next member? Now, I know I hurt some feelings because some of y'all think y'all are more important than other folk. You know, you really do, because you'll call me and say, Pastor, you know you ought to come see me and put emphasis on me. You ought to come see me. But everybody in here is just as important as the next person. There are no little I's and big U's in my Mariah. All of us are on level ground. And many times we base our decisions on who we go see based upon how much they give. Let me say that again. We base it upon how much they, you know, that's a good giver. I gotta go see about him. I gotta go see about her. But listen, God is concerned not just about your finance, but God is concerned about your time and your talent. How many know God wants your time, your talent, and your treasure? And some people are not able to give like other people, but they're just as important. And that's why I try to treat everybody the same way. But they were having a problem because they felt like they were neglected. And maybe so, because there were 3,000 people, but only 12 apostles. And so they decided, we got to have some help, because our leaders are not, I don't have the time to spend reading and studying the Word of God. And how many know there's nothing more important than the Word of God? And so they decided, we're going to get together and find 7 good men that can go out and take care of the less fortunate, that can go out and take care of the sick and shut in. Now, if you notice in here, it doesn't say anything about counting money. Y'all read it when you go home. It does not say anything about counting money. It does not say anything about telling the pastor what to do. Y'all read it when you go home. It says they are appointed to go out and do the other work so the pastor can have time to prepare to give the word. And so, Brother Neil, it's more than coming in and praying on Sunday morning. It's more than having on your black suit, your white shirt, and your red tie. And y'all look good. But it's more than that. If you're not going to see about the sick, if you're not checking in on the widows and less fortunate of this church, you're not doing your job. Sister Neil, it's more than sitting in your white suit looking pretty. And you look pretty today. But it's more than that. When he goes, you ought to go with him. Do I have a witness here? Because somebody's going to have a problem if he goes by Sister So-and-so's house and Sister So-and-so ain't got no husband at the house. That's why you ought to go with him. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm just being real and frank with you today. Child, you know, I saw Brother Neil go by Sister So-and-so's. I saw the pastor go by there. And so you ought to go with him. You ought to accompany. You ought to. It don't take that long to pray for nobody. Well, you wouldn't know if you wasn't being so nosy. Amen. But notice the leaders called the whole church together. They did not deny the problem. They graciously acknowledged that the problem existed. The leaders knew how easily people, in particular cliques, when they feel neglected, can become suspicious and cause even more problems in the church. The point to see is that the whole church was involved in the decision. The leaders wisely sought out everybody's thoughts, advice, counsel, understanding, cooperation, involvement, and love. And that's why I ask you today, as a church, to stand in agreement with what we are doing. Because he's not just a deacon for the deacons, he's a deacon for the entire congregations. The leaders declared their primary call and mission. They had to concentrate on the word of God and study so that they could proclaim the word of God. Listen, the pastor's got to have time to prepare. He's got to have time to give you a word. Listen, if I get up here on Sunday morning and you say to yourself, child, pastor ain't studied. And I know y'all will say it, child. He just got up this morning and threw something together. I see you laughing. You got to have time. So what am I saying? Some of this stuff y'all bring to me. All y'all deacons, stand up. All y'all preachers, stand up. All you preachers, stand up. This is my help. This is my support team. And some of the stuff y'all beat my dough down on Sunday morning with, y'all can see one of these gentlemen. Because that's what they're here for. They are here to help me. So that I can get up here on Sunday morning without having to worry about, well, Sister So-and-so came in the office and told me about this and told me about that. And I get up here with 10 or 15 other things on my mind other than the word of God. Thank you, brother. That's what they're here for. Now, I'm not saying you can't come talk to me. I'm that kind of pastor. Just about everybody in here has my phone number. Y'all text me all the time with all your mess. And listen, I tell you all the time, don't tell all your business to everybody. You all would be amazed at some of the stuff folk in my Mariah tell me that I wouldn't dare tell not just my pastor. I wouldn't even tell my brother, my sister about it. Some of your business, keep to yourself. I tell you all the time, it's some stuff you ought to take to your grave. Oh, come on. Is there anybody in here got some stuff that don't nobody know about but you and the Lord? Come on, I need some real folk in here. I ain't told nobody. I ain't told Sally Jane. I ain't told Henry Earl. I ain't telling nobody, just me and the Lord. And so, some of your intimate stuff, I really don't want to. You know, I really don't want to know about it. And so what I'm saying here today, on the day that we bring in a new deacon, these men are here for you. If you need help, talk to one of these men. If there's something going on in the church that's getting next to you, talk to one of these men. If they can't find a solution, if they can't help you, then they'll come talk to me. But some of the small stuff, and let's be honest about it, most of it's small stuff. Some of it's 15, 20, 25, 30 years old, and you still hadn't got past it yet. And let me throw in for free, and then we're going to be through. I'm just talking this morning. Nobody in this neighborhood bothers us. We've been here soon to be 10 years. Nobody bothers us. We've had one break in. They've stolen air conditioners. But on Sunday morning, nobody comes in here and bothers us. Nobody says you can't have church. Nobody attacks us. Nothing from the outside comes in here. Every problem that we have originates on the inside. Every fight we've had in this church started inside. It's not the outside folk that create the problem, it's the inside folk. And so what I'm saying to you today, we come here to try to help those outside the church. But in order to do that, we got to stop fighting inside the church. People we say we love. Jesus says, how can you say you love me, whom you have never, ever seen, but hate your brother, your sister, that you see on a daily basis? We got to learn to get along better. We got to learn to love better. Every time you point the finger at me, you got three and a thumb pointing back at you. And if we would stop looking for fault in everybody else and address our own faults, because how many know all of us got some issues? All of us got some problems. Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. And in spite of ourselves, do you know God is blessing this church? He's blessing us. I don't know why. He's just that kind of God. He's blessing us in spite of us. And when we look at all of his goodness, and today we're going over to Greater Leesa. Those of you who have never seen the old building, it's just around the corner. You need to drive around there and see where the Lord brought us from. Well, let me bring it closer to home. Some of you are just like me, born in the country. No running water, no inside bathrooms, picking cotton, no air conditioner. When it rained, we had to put out buckets to catch the water. But look what the Lord has brought us from. Oh, come on, come on, come on, y'all. Don't act like you've been living where you're living all of your life. Look what the Lord has brought you from. And you can't get here on Sunday morning and get along with somebody for 2 hours? I don't understand it. God's been good to us. And when you get here on Sunday morning, you ought to think of his goodness. I mean, really, when you get here on Sunday, as a matter of fact, you ought not wait till you get here. On your way to the house of the Lord, you ought to be thinking about how good God's been to you. Maybe I'm in the wrong house today. I need some folk in here today that know the Lord's been good to you. And when you get here, you just can't help yourself but give God praise. You can't help yourself but lift up the name of Jesus, because you know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? And so we need your help. We need you to pray for the church. We need you to pray for Deacon Neal. All of these other deacons, pray for Sister Neal. Because, see, you need to understand, Sister Neal, some of these sisters are going to attack you now. Because they're going to say she thinks she's something now. Because she's a deaconess. Child, look at her. She thinks she's somebody. Well, you are somebody. Did y'all hear what I said? But not only is she somebody, all of us are somebody because we're all God's children. And so let's learn to love one another. Let's try to get along with one another and make my Mariah a better church. Deacon Neal, would you come and stand? Brother Deacons, would you all gather around him? Preachers, would you all gather around him? I have in my hand a certificate of ordination. It reads, Markeesh D. Neal has been chosen one of good report, full of the spirit, full of wisdom, and capable of using the office well. Was set apart publicly to the office and work of deacon by the Mount Moriah Missionary Baptist Church, 1401 Meadow Lane Terrace, Fort Worth, Texas, on the 18th day of August, 2019. Deacon Neal, I present you with your certificate of ordination. Amen. You would sit. Brothers, if you all would all gather around him. God, we come now with bowed heads and humble hearts. God, we thank you for another expression of your love and your kindness. God, we thank you for your tender mercies. We thank you, you're God that sit high, but Lord, you look low. God, we come now thanking you for your servant, Markeesh Neal. God, we pray now that you will crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, we pray that he might be able to carry out the work of you, that he will stand on the promises of Jesus. God, we ask now that you would help this congregation to accept him. And God, it really doesn't matter whether they accept him, because God, you've already accepted him. And so God, we pray now that he would be an effective leader, that God, you would give him many years to seek, serve, and to carry out your will and your way. God, these things we ask in the only name that matters. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. There may be somebody here today outside the ark of safety. You can come today by letter, by Christian experience, as a candidate for baptism.